friends, this is Jacqueline Lowe from Grace That Reigns. I want to give you an example of sin as a topic of conversation and help you to see that approaching this topic in our church, in our ministry, is no less different than what some of us have engaged in and encountered in our own professional and personal lives. The topic of sin, then, doesn't have to be so intimidating. In this podcast, I want to explore why it's so difficult a subject to approach. Second, I would like to explore the many reasons why there is a reluctance for us to want to engage in this topic. Thirdly, I would like to offer examples of people and how they respond to us in our day-to-day lives, in their talking and in their sharing, so that we can demystify the actual word sin. And finally, I'd like to remind all of us that we live in a world where we do sin, but it shouldn't define us in the way that we're moving forward in our relationship with Christ. We do have the church, and we do ask for forgiveness, and we can receive it. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this talk about sin. Bishop Gilmore spoke about sin last week. It is a difficult topic and challenging because it hits so close to home. Personally, it has never been an easy topic for me to speak of either. In the last 10 years or so, I've been meeting with people one-on-one, and I learned that the top three reasons why people are reluctant to approach the topic of sin are as follows. Number one, the Catholic Church never forgets to remind us that we are sinners, more often than we would like to hear it. This causes people to feel like we will never get to where we have to get to, that we will never, ever get to be a good Catholics, and we will always continue to go to confession and receive absolution, but it's a cycle that will never end. Because of this, I think in the Catholic Church, people are looking for encouragement rather than admonishment. And that's one of the real reasons, one of the big reasons, why it's a little bit difficult for us to embrace this topic as a whole. Sometimes we want to hear the priests tell us that we're okay and that we have so many wonderful attributes besides the fact that we are also sinners. I know it's getting better, and I know that some of the younger and newer priests are rising to this occasion. This brings us to reason number two. The second reason why people find it difficult to listen to the topic of sin in the Catholic Church is that some of our priests have also sinned in the most grievous ways. For the past 30 years or so, there have been frequent news and stories about priests and bishops betraying their own priestly identity. Of course, we hear about the abuse of children, and that, of course, makes us feel very sad and angry all at the same time. So there's already a huge reluctance then to think about the topic of sin because we see these priests as being bad role models for our faith. In this ministry, people have remarked, "Why should I go to a priest then to confess my sins when the priest who I'm sitting in front of may have sinned badly himself?" Not all the priests or bishops are causing this trouble, but as a whole, it's never been good and it hasn't been good for the vocation. Finally, last but not least, this is reason number three. The third reason is, this topic is a hard topic. It doesn't give us warm and fuzzy feelings. And because it doesn't give us warm and fuzzy feelings, it's easy to want to ignore the topic. It's hard to see the splinter of wood in another's eye when we have a whole log in our own eye, and it's equally difficult to admit fault for the things that we do and to blame someone else for the things that they do. Frankly, I think our society, each one of us, wants to be seen as good people. And we really are. And it's hard to see that we come from a place of original sin. And that affects us in our day-to-day living. In effect, we'd rather hear stories of our golden retrievers than to listen to a topic that points to us as the cause of someone else's hurt. So, I've now listed the top three reasons why it's hard for us to approach the topic of sin. You and I already have experiences where people come to us to tell us not only the awesome character of who they are, but they also are willing to share experiences that they have in their lives and qualities that make them less than perfect. And I don't know why that is so, that people like to talk about their transgressions. But this only makes it easier for us to take a look at it and not label it as sin per se from the Catholic Church point of view, but seeing it as a fact and part of our lives. I think with the sharings that we share with each other, this makes it easier for us to see and acknowledge sin in the world in the general sense. That makes it easier for us to be open to this topic with grace. Okay, now let's take a look at an example of some cases in the real world. They're pretty enlightening. So we all live sinful lives. But let's not be afraid of it. Let's not be afraid to discuss it. So basically, as human beings, we love to share. Some of us don't share very much. And then there are others who say quite a lot. And then, of course, there's the last group who love to brag. So if you're a bartender, a hairstylist, a manicurist, a massage therapist, or a coach, you might probably understand more of what I mean because you may have experienced this in your life. So it goes like this. Here are two examples of people whom you might meet. Number one, the first scenario is like this. You're working at your job when all of a sudden, a client whom you have known for years admits that she is having an affair with a colleague. At first, you may not know what to say. You could be surprised, or you may be puzzled about what this person wants from you. And so you give that person a chance to speak. And she probably wants to know what your reaction will be, and she says something like this. It was something like a one-time deal. It's not a bad thing. It was just a fling. It was just for fun. Or perhaps something like this. Well, I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to conquer this situation. It was just like, I don't know, a feather in my cap. And so you sit there again, not knowing what to do. But you know, people share like this all the time. People love to talk to people whom they know about things that they've done that are not so grand. And more often than not, some people feel very at ease sharing their lives with complete strangers. If you see the show Dr. Phil, you can see all kinds of people speaking about the bad things that they have done, whether they be big things or little things. Here now is scenario number two. Say you're sitting at a bar and you're drinking a few drinks, wine, beer, and a stranger is drinking with you, sitting next to you on the next stool. He has had a bit too much to drink, and then he turns around and he talks to you and he tells you his life story. Have you ever had that happen to you? And then he proceeds to tell you that he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing. He says to you, well, you know, I'm pilfering from my company's account. It's not like a lot of money. It's just, you know, a little bit. That's all. Now, doesn't this scenario sound like, oh my, bless me, Father, for I have sinned? But you get the point. This person is telling you what he probably hasn't told his partner. So what do you do at this time? Do you act surprised? Do you shrug your shoulders and say, oh well, obviously he was able to reveal something to you about himself. So these are just two scenarios that I wanted to share. People get caught up when they hear the word sin. But in effect, in the secular world, we're already sharing our weaknesses. And if that's the case, we might be less intimidated by the word sin and be more open to the fact that we don't have to be perfect. I remember a long time ago, I talked to a man who told me that he noticed that his wife had cheated on him. And so he decided to take revenge. Every day, he would systematically belittle her and make fun of her and make her feel smaller as a form of punishment. He did this to ensure that her self-esteem would be damaged. Seriously, I didn't know what to say to him. I think I was a little stunned that he was so candid. So I didn't say anything for a while. And then he continued on, to my surprise. This is what he said. She hurt me really bad, so I just figured that I could hurt her bad in the same way and give it back to her. So then I said to him, I'm sorry, I can't advise you if that was a good thing or a bad thing that you did. My neutral response to this man was not comforting. So what happened next? Well, the silence between us grew louder, and it made him feel unsettled. Finally, I did turn to him and say, you know, do you think you could have handled it a little bit better? It was like an opening for him. He wanted to discuss everything about it. He wanted to just talk it out. And he said, well, I kind of wanted a voice of reason to help me to make this decision. Like, am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? And of course, his actions were wrong. But what he really needed most was to be redirected back to his moral compass. Sometimes people need to arrive at a point of understanding that what they're doing is wrong. And if not nipped in the bud, it can have serious consequences on the way they behave and the way they continue on with their lives, feeling guilty or not. Bishop mentioned that the root of sin is always selfishness and wanting it our way. In this situation, I can see that this man was very hurt that his wife had cheated on him. And so his taking on revenge was his way of being selfish and saying, you know, since you hurt me that bad, I'm going to hurt you just as badly. This situation reminds us of how important we are to each other. We are reminded that when we listen with empathy and compassion and understanding, we can help those who approach us, our families, our friends, and sometimes strangers, to be reminded that they can change too in a way that is more positive and constructive for their lives. As you can see, in that moment, you can be the eyes and the ears and the mouthpiece through which God offers grace. Much like the priest, but without the sacrament of confession and the absolution that he could only give. Sometime later, I met this man again, and he told me that that discussion that he had with me that day was worth it, and that he had returned to a point where he just did not want to continue to hurt his wife anymore, and he decided that he would forgive her and they would start again. The point of this sharing is that sin is hard and confessing is hard. But in real life, most people already confess their shortcomings to each other on a daily basis. They're in fact creating for themselves a situation or outlet that leads to some kind of change. And if there's any sense of remorse, humility, or conscience within this person, change can happen, and change can be quick. In retrospect, I think that if this man was to enter the Catholic Church or to resume a life of faith, I think because of this example, because he had an opportunity to speak to someone else about his sin or his transgressions in a way that brought him to a point where it was gentle and effective for his own growth, he would see sin, the concept of sin, as a lesser barrier than someone else who may not have been given advice gently or constructively. As a result, it would be much easier for him to go to church, to go to a priest, to seek the sacrament of confession, and to be absolved, thereby receiving the grace of forgiveness. I mentioned the word grace within this ministry. The receiving of grace for sinners like us is far more important to our healing than we know. And why is that? Because it's exactly in our fallen nature that God's grace can work to heal us, to build us up, and to help us to be more accountable and freer, giving us peace. And now I want to speak to you a little bit about fault. Sometimes sins are not our fault. Can you believe it? And sometimes sins are our fault. So let's go with number one. Sins are not our fault. When does this happen? How does this work? Sometimes sin is not our fault when the situation in our families or circumstances leads to us committing sins. And by this, I mean, this is how it works. I remember working with a young man whose dad was abusive, and the young man learned to behave in a way that was similar to his father as he continued to grow up. He learned to keep his feelings to himself. He learned that violence was the answer, and he learned that abusing his own family was normal. And he ended up becoming more self-centered and more controlling, and that laid his foundation. You know, I'm no psychologist, but it seems to me that two things were missing from the way he was making these choices. First, the way that he was brought up made it likely that he did not have a full understanding of what he was doing to his family. And second, he did not have freedom in the choices he was making. So was he at fault? There are three criteria that must be met for the church to deem a person is sinning seriously. Let's look at the three criteria. Number one, it must be a serious wrong action, as family abuse is. Number two, the person must have full knowledge of what he or she is doing. And number three, the person must give full consent to the choice of his actions. In this example, this man's abusive upbringing lessened his knowledge and freedom to make these decisions. And therefore, though it seemed like a sin in nature, it was not considered to be a serious sin. Mind you, he was definitely not off the hook. He still had to make amends because he hurt his family. Now, let's take a look at number two. Sin is our fault. Sin is our fault when we satisfied the three criteria. It must be a seriously wrong action. we must make full knowledge of what we are doing. And finally, we must give full consent to our action. I remember an incident when I was a child. We had just come back from school, and it was break time, and my mom had put out 2 glasses of milk on the table. And I remember fooling around at the table, and my hand accidentally swished the glass, and the glass fell on the floor and broke. And then my mother came running around the corner, and she said, "Who broke the glass?" And I was with my sister. I looked at her, and I said, "I didn't do it. My sister did it." And that was a sin. I was wrong. I took full knowledge of the fact that I made the choice to say that I didn't do it, although I knew I did it. And then I made up my mind to lie to my mom. Well, how did that feel? Well, it felt bad for just the moment. But for me, it wasn't the end of the world, because I knew that Christ died for our sins. The Bible told us that. Our priest told us that. So I knew that I would be forgiven. And I also knew that I would do this again sometime later in my life. All I had to do then was to go to church, go and receive the sacrament of reconciliation, and ask the Lord for his forgiveness, and the priest would absolve me. And from then on, the topic would be closed. And that's the great thing, the most marvelous thing about our Catholic faith. So friends, you know, the topic of sin is definitely weighty, and it can be very intimidating. But seriously, it doesn't have to be. I hope my use of real-world examples and discussions that I had with people of the faith was able to help you and to prove to you that this topic belongs to all of us, and it can become a warm and fuzzy one. Perhaps if we engage in this topic more frequently and see this as part of our daily living, we will be able to open up to the fact that the topic of sin no longer has to be scary and relegated to the corner of the church or to our priests or to the sacrament of reconciliation. How do I feel now about this topic? I probably see it now in a different light, in a different way than when I started it. I realize now that our discretions, sin, is just an indicator to help us on our journey to realize where we are, how we take responsibility for our actions, and how we progress, how we continue on this journey. When I began with this topic, I was afraid to embrace it. But as I prayed through it, I realize now, of course, that there's light at the end of this tunnel. It's not as bad as how my uncle had put it. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, which pretty much translated to through my most grievous fault. And because of that, as a result, this is how I looked at the topic of sin. It became a barrier to me for my own growth and my own understanding of faith and the teachings of the church. And now, how about you? What was your assumption about this topic of sin? And what are you thinking now after listening to this presentation? Has it helped you to change your outlook? Has it helped you to see it in a better light? So if you can, please listen again to Bishop Gilmour's commentary on sin. It is deep, it is powerful, and I can guarantee it will also help you in your journey. Finally, I want to leave you with this. In Isaiah 42:16, the Lord promised us, "I will lead the blind on their journey by paths unknown. I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make their rough places smooth. Thank you, everyone. This is Jacqueline Lowe at www.gracethatreigns.com.